Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're back in session. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're having public hearings for zoning applications today. They are legislative in nature because the council uses that information in order to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will then provide the council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will then be called on to give testimony, explain their application. The council may question the applicant and any of their witnesses. After the applicant has had an opportunity to present their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are here and oppose the applications will likewise be given an opportunity to state their reasons for their opposition. After the opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front podium, state your name and address. If you're speaking for another group or represent someone, state for whom you represent. If you have a written statement, it does not have to be read into the record, but it can simply be given to Mr. Lank, and it will become part of the record. If there are more than one witness in favor of or in opposition to the application, please do not repeat points that were already made by another speaker. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to a silent mode. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And it's my understanding, Mr. Lank, that the first two, the change of zone 1691 and conditional use 1849, are going to be combined for the purposes of the hearing. But of course, any votes, although it was deferred and no vote will occur today, when vote does occur, it will be taken on each one individually.
Yeah, but when we went before the Planning and Zoning Commission, the applicants requested that both applications be presented as one project, but the decisions acknowledged that the decision would be rendered separately since there's two type applications. We have two applications being heard together. One is change of zone number 1691. It's the application of Linder and Company Incorporated, Carrie Andrea Finerovsky, sorry if I said that wrong, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR general residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying northeast of Old Mill Road, also known as Road 349, and 450 feet northwest of Railway Road, being Road 350, to be located on 34 acres more or less. We also have conditional use number 1849, the application of Linder and Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Finerovsky, to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 48.3595 acres more or less, lying at the northwesterly corner of Railway Road, being Road 350, and Old Mill Road, being Road 349. If anybody was listening and realized there's a 14-acre difference between those two parcels, one is because 14 acres of the original parcel is already zoned GR. So you have two different acreages. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application, or these applications, on November 10th of 2010. Council has received before them is a large exhibit booklet, which has been a part of the record since October 29th. For their consideration and review as the applicants give testimony. We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the Sussex County Engineering Department, We also found that their plus comments were a part of the record. Andrea Finerovsky and David Crowley of Linder & Company Incorporated were present with Gene Byard, attorney Wilson, Albrook & Byard Professional Association, Garth Jones, professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group Incorporated, and John Phelps, III, environmental scientist with Landmark Engineering and JCM Environmental, all giving testimony during the public hearing. Mr. Byard provided copies of letters from the Bethany Bay Homeowners Association Transition Board, the Heron Run Condo Association, the Marshway Homeowners Association, the Bluffs Condominium Association, and the Point at Bethany Bay Condominium Association within Bethany Bay, RPC, in support of the application. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to these applications. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed these applications, and in reference to change of zone 1691, there was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action on change of zone 1691 for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. In reference to conditional use number 1849, there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously again to defer action on conditional use 1849 for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. The commission has not met again to take action on this application. It is on the agenda for December 9th for commission action. I have received just a few minutes ago a letter from the Bethany Bay Homeowners Association referencing the pavilions. It's addressed to David Baker. It's dated November 21st. And for the benefit of council, I passed down copies. Since I'm passing out copies, should I read that? Or?
Yes, if you could, please.
Okay. I'm writing as the president of the Pavilions Homeowners Association located in Bethany Bay, Ocean View, Delaware, and referencing 136 owners, as well as a former president and member of the Sea Colony Council in Bethany Beach, a community of 3,200 owners. We are currently in opposition to the request of Linder & Company, owned by Verino Petinero, to rezone a tract of land known as Evans Farm from agriculture to residential. On November 10 of 2010, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission voted to defer action on the Linder request to rezone this tract, as well as the request conditional use 1849 to construct multifamily dwellings. The residents of Bethany Bay, specifically the Pavilion Homeowners Association, again referencing 136 owners, and the Point Homeowners Association referencing 90 owners, are currently in the process of spending in excess of $1.2 million to correct Linder & Company building deficiencies. Experience and a myriad of building issues to include substandard and unsafe stairwells, substandard foundations, building envelope leaks, window leaks, and mold issues. We have developed a scope of work to correct the problems, engaged a professional engineer to supervise the project, and hired two reputable Delaware companies, RDM Incorporated and the Wayland Group, to correct the lender's deficiencies. Additionally, we have become aware of a serious water issue that was outlined in a 2009 water quality report issued by Tidewater Utilities Incorporated during June of 2010. The Bethany Bay Pump District, which provides water to not only Bethany Bay and Sea Colony, but to another 47 Sussex County communities, as well as to the proposed Evans Farm project, exceeds the lead parameter and is an MCL violation. I am currently heading a committee from Sea Colony and Bethany Bay to meet with the president of Tidewater, Mr. Gerald Esposito, to discuss this issue and a remedy for the residents involved. I'm requesting that Sussex County Council take the prudent course of action with regard to the Linder request as outlined above and defer action for a minimum of 6 months and until a thorough report on a corrective action relative to the Bethany Bay Linder construction issues as well as the Tidewater utility action on the water issue can be determined. Thank you for considering this request on behalf of your Sussex County constituents. I will be happy to meet with you or your representatives for the council to discuss Linder & Company as well as Tidewater utility issues in depth. And sincere kind regards, FD Priscello, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Marine Corps retired, and President of Pavilions HOA and Sea Colony West Phase 1 and 2. Here's a copy for the applicant. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay, any questions from members of the council? If not, Mr. Byard.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Lender & Company. With me this afternoon are Dave Crowley and Andrew Finneroski from Lender, Garth Jones from Becker Morgan, the project engineer, and John Phelps from Landmark JCM Environmental. Lawrence has given you a snapshot of the application. I'll try to be brief in what we put in front of you today. I will respond to the letter that Lawrence just read initially by noting that five of six homeowners associations at Bethany Bay have endorsed this application, and evidently one association does not. Garth will speak to that association's concern about water quality issues. And with that, we'll go forward. Garth, if you could come forward, identify yourself, and briefly describe your credentials.
Oh, yes, my name is Garth Jones. I'm a professional civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group Incorporated out of Dover, Delaware. I have a Bachelor of Civil Engineering from University of Delaware. I've been practicing engineering for 21 years in both the public sector and private sector, and I am licensed as a professional engineer in six states.
Garth, if you could, take counsel on a quick tour of the neighborhood,
yes,
pointing out where the property is and what surrounds it.
Evans Farm is actually located just north of Ocean View at the intersection of Old Mill Road and Railway Avenue. The property is actually split zoned. As Lawrence said, there's approximately 14 acres. It's already zoned GR. The rest of it is AR1. And as you can see by the map surrounding it, we have GR zoning, MR1, commercial zone, a business, and then an AR1 RPC zoning, all surrounding the Evans Farm. So we're essentially a hole in the middle of a donut here.
Is it safe to say, Garth, this is the last undeveloped tract in the immediate area?
Yes.
If you could talk briefly about infrastructure for the project, tell us about traffic issues, water, sewer, stormwater.
All right. According to the PLUS report for sanitary sewer, the project's located in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The project's within the planning study assumptions for sewer service and adequate capacity does exist for the project. And this is from the county engineer. The connection point for Evans Farm is actually on Old Mill Road, and the infrastructure has already been installed by Lender & Company.
And what was the estimated cost of those off-site improvements?
It's approximately around $1.5 million.
And those are in place and paid for?
Yes.
Let's talk about traffic.
Traffic. Traffic impact study was completed for the project, and all this information is in that project development manual. DLDOT reviewed the traffic impact study and issued their review letter, and essentially the improvements that Lender & Company are required to make. One is to fund the equitable portion of local matching funds for the SR 26 Atlantic Avenue project. They have to improve Railway Road and Old Mill Road along the site frontage to 11-foot travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders. There'll be a deceleration right turn lane into the site. There'll also be a 10-foot wide multimodal paved path around the site frontage. And then there'll also be interconnections from that multimodal path into the site. DLDOT actually issued a letter of no objection for the entrance location September 2009.
And what will be the cost estimated of the off-site improvements?
It'll be over $1 million in road infrastructure improvements.
Let's talk about water. What's the source of water project?
Tidewater Utilities, we're in their franchised area, and Tidewater issued a willing and able letter July 2010. that they have the capacity and are willing to serve this project.
Are you aware of any issues with water quality encountered by Tidewater in the service area?
I am. I contacted Mr. Bruce Patrick, who is our Vice President of Engineering at Tidewater. In 2009, they actually, it's called an action level exceedance for lead in a two-block area of Sea Colony West. It's important to note that this was not a violation. But as part of the reporting, when they issued their water quality report for 2009, they had to note this in the water quality report to the whole service area, although it only impacted about two blocks of Sea Colony West.
Was the water source the problem?
Water source is not part of the problem. The problem is either customer's plumbing and or the existing service lines. So the again, it's not a violation, and it's not a issue with Tidewater supply. And as a matter of fact, the actual well that's supplying this Evans Farm differs from what's supplying Sea Colony.
Meaning it's in a different location?
In a different location. And that corrective, Tidewater has assured me that corrective measures have been taken to correct the matter.
Mr. Moore, I'm going to hand up a couple of copies of the letter. Guard solicited from Tidewater explaining the water quality issue, but the point to be made is it is not a problem with water quality for the source wells. Evidently, the problems with piping connecting water supply to houses or townhouses at Sea Colony West. With that, Garth, let's talk about stormwater.
Stormwater is proposed. As you can see, we have our stormwater pond in the center of our site. It's one of the main features, amenity for Evans Farm. And so all our stormwater will be treated on-site.
Can you talk briefly about your trip to PLUS?
We did go to PLUS back in September of 08 and issued a PLUS response in June of 09, and the project is located in levels 2 and 3, investment levels.
And did you incorporate PLUS's comments in your revised plan?
Yes.
Although 99-9C of the county code is not necessarily applicable, it certainly is relevant. Can you touch on the requirements of 99-9C and how this project complies?
We'll hit highlights. there's no impact to wetlands or the 100-year floodplain, no impact to natural or historical features. The project has roughly 80% open space. We'll also have planted buffers and maintain the existing buffers that are around the site. We'll have minimal tree removal for the project. Again, for our screening, we'll have planted buffers, street trees, and then on-site landscaping as well. The project served by Tidewater Utilities for Water, Sussex County for Sewer. Stormwater management, we'll have to meet the guidelines of the state of Delaware. Also, this project's located in the Inland Bay's pollution control strategies. So we will also have to comply with those requirements, which is a 40% reduction in nitrogen and a 40% reduction in phosphorus. Again, we touched on the there'll be internal sidewalks all around the road, internal street, as well as a walking path around the stormwater management pond, and we have interconnections, walking paths as well. So we'll also have bike lanes on Old Mill Road and Railway Road as well. Dave can talk about the effect on property values. being that this is somewhat of a seasonal community, and there's a lot of amenities on site, there should not be impacts to schools or public buildings or community facilities.
All right, let's move on to the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Can you talk about that ordinance and how this project complies?
Sure. section in your book, section 1.4 actually lists goes through the how we comply with the environmentally sensitive overlay zone. Again, talking about drainage stormwater management, we're required to meet the Delaware sediment and stormwater regulations. In addition, we're in the Inland Bay Pollution Control Strategy, so there'll be a 40% reduction of nitrogen phosphorus. We have public utilities, water through Tidewater, sewer through Sussex County. Traffic went through the improvements that we're going to have to make according to DLDOT. Endangered species, there was a study done, and there were no endangered species determined. We do have two areas of non-tidal wetlands on the site. There'll be no disturbance proposed to those wetlands. We're going to maintain approximately 80% open space. Private and public infrastructure that lender company is going to be required to construct or already has constructed will be the road improvements, sanitary sewer, which is already constructed, water infrastructure, stormwater management, amenities, and open space. There's no known historic or cultural resources. And again, mitigation impacts. The project will be served with public utilities, stormwater management, on-site amenities, landscape buffers.
All right, let's talk about the pond. Is it correct that that's the centerpiece of the design of the project?
That's correct, yes.
Is that pond sized just to accommodate stormwater?
No, actually, that pond is about 3 to 4 times the size it needs to be. So stormwater is about a third of what that pond is.
Is there potential for groundwater recharge on site?
There is. JC Environmental did soil testing out there and found that the soils are suitable for infiltration.
If I could, John, could you come forward and identify yourself?
John Phelps. I'm an environmental scientist with Landmark JCM in Newcastle, Delaware.
Can you talk about your credentials briefly?
Sure. I have a bachelor's in regional planning, focus my studies on environmental planning, certification in wetland delineation from Rutgers University, and soil descriptions from Penn State.
John, if you could, tell me, was there a wetlands evaluation done for this site?
There was. 2006, there was a delineation done.
And what did it reveal?
It's at the northeast corner there. There was a, in this corner over here, the northwest corner, I guess, there was a forested, isolated clustering wetland and a ditch along the property there.
Is it correct that both areas will remain undisturbed?
Yes.
Was there a forest evaluation or timber assessment done?
Yes, JCM did the forest stand delineation this year.
And what did that reveal?
Two stands. No specimen trees were located in either tracks. It was a mixed coniferous stand as well as a mixed oak tract.
Is it more likely than not that this was an area that was cut over and never replanted and has grown up naturally?
Correct.
What about a rare threat and endangered species study? Was one performed?
Yeah, we reviewed the RTE study. No species or habitat was noted.
Given the size of the pond, which is the centerpiece of the project, what do you do about waterfowl control?
The pond has been designed to have an upland vegetative buffer. Most waterfowl, geese especially, prefer open water.
What would the height of that be?
About 5 feet, the max.
And that's to discourage them from going ashore, going into the pond?
But geese like to have open water. A riparian buffer would allow stalking or their prey, or if someone's hunting them, to stalk them in the buffer.
What about the safety of the pond? How do you design a safe pond?
The first, it's called a benched area. Inside the pond, it's 10 foot. It'll be submerged about 1 foot. That's pretty standard for safety, as well as it will be vegetated as well.
Although we don't know the depth of the pond because it hasn't been fully designed and approved by soil conservation, is this a type of pond that can support aquatic life such as fish?
Absolutely. The pond report that I wrote talks about stocking rates in the pond, panfish, especially, and they'll be able to breed in that first benched area very well.
Thank you. Andy and Dave, if you could come up. In the interest of time, I'll point out that's Dave Crowley, that's Andy Finneroski. Dave, I want you to come forward, if you will, and talk about the theme and design of the project, if you can briefly.
Good afternoon. My name is David Crowley, and I have been working in the resort area selling real estate for about 26 years. I've been involved in the Bethany Bay project since 1993, which is going to be very similar. This project's going to be very similar. Basically, the pond idea with the circle of units and then the garages across the street was an idea that we got from Bethany Bay, and it works really well in the resort area for second homes, and that's primarily what these units are going to be.
Before you go further, let's talk about that. These are primarily second homes in your market plan?
Yes.
How many children are in the Indian River School System in Bethany Bay as we speak?
Currently, we have 460 units, and we have about four families that send children to school use the bus.
Consequently, you believe the impact on the school district will be minimal?
It should be very minimal.
But let's talk about the amenity package for the project.
The amenity package for this project is based off several projects that we've done. It has a clubhouse with a fitness center, open meeting room, breakfast area with coffee. It would have a pool, basketball court, tennis courts, volleyball. The volleyball is pretty popular in the beach area.
Will there be a Wi-Fi link in that building?
Yes, there would be a internet access and areas to use devices like that, yes.
Let's talk about impacts, financial impacts. You've got a board up there. Can you take council through that quickly?
Basically, we were asked to estimate this project as far as the sellout and where we would price the units. We've built the units many times in different areas, not just Bethany Bay, but all over the state of Delaware. This would not have the advantages that Bethany Bay has had as far as the natural backdrop. Bethany Bay is right on the wetlands in the bay, so the pricing would be a lot different. We really like the idea of the pond because we believe it's going to create a nice scenic backdrop, and although you're not going to sell those for waterfront, people do like the ponds. It's nice. It's a natural back setting. We estimate two bedrooms to go for $200,000 a unit, four bedrooms at $300,000 a unit, and then we've estimated a sellout of 4 years or so. This is anticipating not getting to break ground probably for about 3 years.
What about impacts? Financial impacts on the county?
We've also done a markup, some quick math based on the sales price of the units on the impact to the county financially as far as transfer tax. We took into consideration that the county does not get all that transfer tax. We've also calculated some sewer impact fees and the real estate property taxes. Transfer tax, of course, would be something that would be ongoing because of the resales in the community.
And for the record, the sewer impact fees total what in your estimation?
We estimate about $1,133,800.
And county taxes and school taxes?
You're taxing my happy hairy reading glasses, Gene. I forgot them. That's right. The taxes on the generated to the county on the transfer tax is going to be about $738,000. Property taxes, school taxes, County taxes on that would be about $18,343 annually.
For circulation, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Have you heard of Lawrence read a letter from the President of the Homeowners Association, although you needn't comment in detail? Do those concerns have any relevance to this application?
They do not, in my opinion, no.
In fact, this is a decision about land use, not about construction disputes. Is that a fair statement?
That would be my opinion.
That's all we have, gentlemen and ladies. This is a comprehensively designed, very carefully thought out project. I know, George, you've read every page in that project booklet, but particularly the declaration.
I did it just now while you were talking.
Open space management plan, the pond management plan. There are proposed findings of fact and conditions. This is consistent with the Quality of Life Act, the state strategies for spending. It is in level one and, level two and level three, which call for densities where water and sewer, central water and sewer available, of up to 5 per acre. It is consistent with the character of the neighborhood, and as Garth described it, it is really the hole in the middle of a donut. It's the last piece of land not developed in this immediate area. One thing this will accomplish, perhaps in a small way, is it will put a number of people in Baltimore 100 to work, and in this economy, that's probably a good thing. We'll answer any questions you have.
Any questions from council?
You say there's no effect on the schools, but yet it says school taxes of $115,000 a year will be paid to the school district if it follows the same kind of ratio.
Right. I'm talking burden on the school, not benefit.
Sounds like a net positive for the school.
Yeah, I'm talking burdens on the school. There are four families with kids in the Indian River School District at Bethany Bay. The marketing scheme here is to appeal to 55 and older people who will not have kids in the district. So the obvious benefit to the school system is a lot of money.
That was basically a standard tax bill that I took and then just did the math and figured out how much the average homeowner would be paying towards school taxes.
Okay.
How you plan on draining the pond?
I think that's a question for Garth.
How do we plan on grading the pond?
Yes, sir.
Grading or draining, Mr. Wilson?
Draining.
Well, again, the pond is sized 3 to 4 times larger than what it needs to be, so there's plenty of room. Even if you get to 100-year storm, 500-year storm, there's plenty of capacity within that pond. But there's also the soils are suitable for infiltration, so we also can utilize infiltration.
Will that pond break into the water table?
No.
It won't be naturally fed?
No.
Okay. So on a real dry spell, it could be a real low water line in there?
It's possible, but I suspect that our friends at the Soil Conservation Service would require a source of water to keep the pond wet.
Correct.
Meaning a well.
Well, I didn't finish here, but I have saw water tables rise and go with the springs. If you have big rains, your table comes up. If you have no rain, it goes down. So as your water table comes up, your pond fills up, and then there's no drainage. Your pond runs over. I could actually show you several ponds that I know of. One was dug probably 10 times bigger than he ever thought he ever needed. But last year, we had water knee-deep in one park. Couldn't even get down the road. So what now solve that problem, the individuals now come back and you're going to put a drainage in there, go to a ditch. And that's the only way, it seems to me, to secure saying these ponds. It's not how big the pond is. It's how many you can get rid of the water when you do have too much water, that you can drain to somewhere, to a ditch or to a pond, to a river or somewhere.
Does the Conservation District, Sam, require them to have an overflow?
Well, I think we're coming to that.
Okay, right now, may not.
It's another thing to look at. I'm telling you, that's a. Yeah. I'm not trying to be hard on this issue.
I understand, Mr. Wilson. I think Garth Jones has an answer for you for your concerns about the potential for overflow.
We do have a ditch that runs along the down side of our property, and there's a culvert underneath. Again, when we get into the more detailed design of the pond, I'm sure that the Conservation District will make us analyze that culvert as well as the ditch to make sure there's adequate capacity for draining it.
Yeah, the ditch may not have enough capacity, you're saying. You don't know.
Well, I think the ditch could handle it. It takes a small ditch to handle water, but if you don't never get rid of none of it, it has nothing. It has nowhere to go. It just keeps getting bigger and
I understand your point. The point here, though, is that there is an outfall. The question is,
have to come to it, I suppose. Yeah,
what will the design be? And the answer is, we don't know at this preliminary stage. That's to be designed with the Soil Conservation Service.
It's not size of the pond that's going to take care of this water.
It's the ditch that
it's the overflow.
Right, and that's what the ditch is there for. And if it needs to be resized, that's a function of...
Actually, you could have a pond that half that size if you got an overflow.
It could be a quarter that size. But so long as there is a solution and that ditch provides it, whatever the Soil Conservation Service permits will address the issue, Mr. Wilson. Other questions?
Yeah, on the ditch, the pond thing, there have been a number of concerns, I think, expressed lately about too many ponds in the county, a lot of this development with these ponds, and they've become a nuisance in a way with the waterfowl and different things that they attract. I mean, you don't see a problem with this.
In your booklet, you will find, I call it a phone book, in your phone book, you'll find an open space management plan, and you'll find a pond management plan. Okay. That's something that will be handled by the developer until it's turned over to the homeowners, and the homeowners will handle it thereafter. But that will be in place.
I guess.
Any other questions from council? Is not. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak on behalf of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak on behalf? Is there anyone here?
No one coming.
Are you in support or opposition, sir?
I'm in opposition.
Okay. Hang on just a second.
Hang on a second.
Hold that thought.
That was my next. Is anyone here that would like to speak in opposition?
Your turn.
Give us your name and address, please, for the record.
My name is Frank Pacello, 30399 Pavilion Drive, Unit 1206, Ocean View, Delaware. I'm the one that wrote the letter that was read into the minutes. I apologize for not getting it in sooner. I had some issues to take care of health-wise. A couple of things that I'd like to bring to your attention. Number one, within that document that you've got there is a state planning coordinator's counsel that the project design is not without challenges. And it's certainly, in my opinion, anytime you deal with Linder and Company, the challenges will exceed the actuality of what actually a developer does for you. I have lived at Bethany Bay since 2001. I've been the president of Sea Colony for 25 years. I just elected not to run for the president of the Sea Colony Council about a month ago because I'm getting a little too old to handle all that, but I am a member of the council and a member of the Sea Colony board. As far as Tidewater goes, I am meeting with Mr. Gerald Esposito at 2 o'clock on Friday with his entire staff to talk about this water report that is not as light as was made out to be here. It is serious and it's significant. We have some issues at Sea Colony with it, and I have issues at Bethany Bay with it. And I intend to have Mr. Esposito address those, among other things. Those of you who have dealt with Tidewater know they don't hesitate to raise their rates. They've raised them 157% in the last 8 years. I expect them to do something for what they do to correct the problems here. The standard does exceed the MCL, the maximum contaminant level. I've already talked to the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, and all they tell me, and they're a young lady named from Booz Allen Hamilton that monitors this situation, that there is a problem. There was no remedy discussed. We were going to discuss that with Tidewater. So this is in fact a reality. It affects 49 water districts in Sussex County that feed off of the aquifer at Bethany Bay, which shocked me as a Sea Colony resident because we have our own water there. But when they bought our water company, they elected to feed it off of Bethany Bay. Now, notwithstanding that, in this report, you'll find a comment from the state planning coordinator, Brian Hall, proposed design is not without challenges. There should be revisions made to approve the access, because this was very nonspecific according to the state in this report, as I gleaned it. And the environmental challenges are there, in fact, and traffic concerns were raised by the state of Delaware at the state planning coordinator's office. Now, having said that, I've been dealing with Linder and Company since 2001. We have 7 stormwater ponds at Bethany Bay. Part of the developer is out of Bethany Bay on December 31st, none too soon, actually, as far as I'm concerned. Mr. Crowley indicated that the HOA Association's letters were not relevant. I was part of the turnover of Bethany Bay was conditioned on the people that are members of the transition board, which I was one of, elected by the people at Bethany Bay by 49% of the vote, which was the highest amount of votes given, by the way, at Bethany Bay. The indication was that in order to turn Bethany Bay over from the developer to the homeowners, Evans Farm, a recommendation to support Evans Farm was part of that. Pretty much the developer coercing. I resigned from that board, by the way, because I would not sign that letter and I wouldn't write a recommendation to support Linder and Company at Evans Farm as part of the condition to turn Bethany Bay over. The letters were pretty much as vanilla as they could make them, but it was part of the turnover and part of a litigation that we had started in July with Mr. Pettinaro and Linder. I would say that we have 5 ponds at Bethany Bay that are an environmental nightmare. We are forcing the developer, and we had to do this through litigation, to bring them back to as-built standard. I'd be happy to take any of you to Bethany Bay and show you the situation. It's great to have diagrams, pictures, and basically philosophy on what's going to happen. But what reality is that we have ponds at Bethany Bay that only one of them has been maintained because 2 of the homeowners associations, mine and The Point, who, by the way, is a co-signer of my letter here, paid to keep relevant with our own funds. We had to request the developer to allow us to clean up his ponds on an annual basis with Envirotech. That I have the records of that. If anybody would like to see that, I didn't come prepared to do that. But in other, not to get any further discussion about this, what I'm asking for is exactly what the Planning and Zoning Commission did. I'm asking for a deferment on this vote because, in my opinion, Linder and Company does not have a reputation that is worth making a decision on today without further study. I intend to do the due diligence. We have some engineering reports on what's been done at Bethany Bay. I'll be happy to provide those. I also would like just to wait until we meet with Jerry Esposito and find out what Tidewater's going to do about this situation and to further clarify the situation, because the report is not very forthcoming. And I'd also like us to get with the state of Delaware, the state planning coordinator, and get some further confirmation from him on some of the issues that he raised in this report, just to make sure we're on the right track with this. We don't need to subject the people of Sussex County to further expense. The fact of this is that we are correcting a myriad of building deficiencies that have existed in Bethany Bay for nearly 9 years. And we're spending $1.2 million to do that. We've already spent in excess of $300,000 to fix problems with construction that we've had. So with that, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask you to defer this for 6 months. It's not going to be the end of the world. He's not going to build for 3 years. So thank you for the time.
You're saying, sir, defer for 6 months? Because we have to defer tonight, today anyway, because of what planning
and zoning
did. We have
right,
to do
George,
that.
Right.
Now, when we defer, we don't usually leave the record open unless there's a a good reason to leave the record open. Could you state one more time if you think there's some good, you have good reasons to leave the record open for further information, and who is that to be from? If you could do it just real quickly.
Yes, Mr. Cole, I do think we should leave it open for further information. And I think the pond issue, as Mr. Wilson indicates, needs to be looked at a lot closer, because this developer has a track record of not doing the right thing when it comes to the environmental issues. We've had problems with Denrick closing up a septic system at Bethany Bay, and I'd like this to be looked at a little further, and I propose to do some due diligence with a couple engineering firms that we've used at Bethany Bay to assist us in our turnover, to maybe bring disclosure to a couple other areas in this particular situation.
How far are you lifting this pond? How far are you lifting this project?
How far do we lift from this project?
Yes, sir.
Probably about half a mile at the most.
About a half mile.
Yeah.
Straight up the road, Sam. It's
straight up the road.
You follow
from
that
where
road
we
up,
are,
and it goes to their other development they have, right?
Right. And I'd invite you, if you'd like to, Mr. Wilson, to come down and take a look at our ponds. They're being brought back to as built, but for about 8 years, they're a disaster area, except for one.
What was wrong with them? What went wrong with these ponds?
You said the same situation that you described as far as dry weather, drying them up, mosquito breeding. I mean, they've become an environmental wasteland, basically. And the developer is, in fact, bringing them back to as built. But we had to basically force that with a lawyer.
Will that eliminate the
mosquitoes? We spent thousands of dollars to.
Does that eliminate the mosquitoes by bringing them back where it as built?
Will that eliminate them?
Yeah, eliminate the mosquitoes and things like that.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. Our environmental
people
tell us.
How's that going to do that?
Say, sir?
How will that do that?
Well, right now we have nothing but a swamp there that allows the mosquitoes to breed. If we bring them back to a healthy state, and again, I'm not an environmentalist, but we've used Envirotech to do our research on this, and they've been working with us at Bethany Bay to clean one pond up for 5 years now.
Are you saying you don't want growth in these ponds? Is that what? Are you saying that you don't want growth in these ponds? Is that what the problem is?
Growth, did you say?
Growth.
You mean like?
Something growing, like weeds, cattails, whatever. Are you saying, is that the problem?
Well, I know that
it's growing.
I don't know if that's the problem or not. I know what's happened is our ponds in Bethany Bay.
I'm talking about your pond.
Okay. This pond?
Your pond. No, your pond. This pond's not made yet, so I can't talk about it.
Our ponds have become an environmental nightmare, basically. I'd invite you, Mr. Wilson, to come out and take a look at them and see. They're right in the middle of our
soil conservation, sir.
Well,
that's what I'm trying to find out.
They have a report on it. Yeah.
They have a report. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. What am I supposed to look for? What are your opinion that makes this a nightmare?
Well, the appearance of the pond, number one, and we've had an engineering study done on the ponds.
Yeah.
And they need to be brought back to as built. They were let go for almost 10 years, and because of dry weather, lack of feeding. Of the wells to keep the ponds healthy, they've become unhealthy. I do know that. I can get you the environmental report that we have if you'd like to see it, and I'd be happy to provide that to you.
Yeah. Conservation District, Sam, probably has a record of what, if they've made complaints, I would guess, wouldn't they?
Well, if I went down and looked at it, I'm going to know why. What am I looking at? What's the difference? Other than if I'm down there looking for growth that's taking over, that's certainly not a reason.
Well, I mean,
if cattails is taking over, some people complain about cattails and other things coming to pond. That's not a good enough reason, not for me, to say the pond's not functioning. It's hard to take up the minerals and all the other problems that comes off in the roadways and things that goes in there. That's what it's built for.
My point, Mr. Wilson, is that we've had to take legal action, basically, through litigation. We've made the developer bring these bonds back to as built, which is where they should have been for the entire time frame that he's been there.
They're supposed to be maintenance.
They're supposed to be maintained.
They're supposed to be maintained, I think, Sam, is what he's saying. Maybe they weren't.
Yeah. And I apologize for not being more irritated.
That's all right. I didn't.
But any other questions?
It is a fact of life down there.
Any other questions from the counsel of this witness? If not, is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, it's appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter and wait for the council's recommendation on the keeping the record open.
Cool. Yeah, I do have one question. Back to the water, was it a water with Tidewater, Lawrence? Is it a water quality issue or quantity? quality issue, right?
It was a quality.
Okay, and there is evidence that there was issues with Tidewater in this area?
All I have is the letter that was received. I did not have a copy of the report.
Okay. A letter received from?
We got today. We read it.
No, just but
from the man. Okay. How about DENREC? Do we have anything from DENREC or anything alluding to?
Unless it, I don't believe it was in the PLUS report.
PLUS report. Okay. That's,
that'll be it.
Okay. Because we've got to make decisions based on what we've heard here today.
Right.
So I'm trying to, we've heard some that there's water quality. I'm just trying to follow up to see if there is, you know, what the evidence is. But there is a report, you're saying, you think?
There was a report reference was from Tidewater.
Okay.
Mr. Byard, was that in the Quarterly presentation report that you gave?
What was in the presentation we gave was the letter from Tidewater.
You want to submit that, sir? He wants to submit that. Maybe you ought to submit that.
Part of it, what the problem was, it had nothing to do with source water quality. It had everything to do with quality of water that was coming through certain pipes at Sea Colony. And the issue was that the pipes were lead.
That's what I got.
The fact is that source water, that is potable water quality, is not impacted. And the well site that serves Sea Colony is a different well site than the well site that serves this property. So water quality is not threatened in any way. Now, if people install lead pipes, possible water quality could be threatened, but people don't do that anymore.
Okay. Thank you.
But you do have that letter of November 30 from Tidewater that explains what the problem was.
Right, and that was handed down to Mr. Lang.
And that is in the record.
Okay. The public hearing is over on the matter. And, Mr. President, we cannot take action on this today. It has to be deferred because Planning and Zoning did. What's the decision on closing the public record?
Cole, you have any?
Unless Lawrence wanted to give us, you know, a kind of synopsis of the reports from different things next week, and we could leave it open for a week for maybe a report from Lawrence if he could just bring it all together. I don't know if the report he had about talk about Sea Colony isn't relevant. Obviously, it doesn't seem to be, but if somebody can make a connection, I'd like to know. But I'd hate to cut it off. That if there's a Tidewater report or some kind of comment saying that there is no problem with the water system in that area.
The aquifer supports 49.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, I'd rather get
right, the sir. Connection.
Sir.
Sir.
Right, the, we're going to get yeah, the Department the, of Health
the
or somebody like that.
Public hearing is over at this point.
I don't mind letting Lawrence maybe give us a synopsis on water and I guess that was the prime issue. In the pond, if maybe Conservation District, they usually, Sam, when we approve a project, it goes to them. And they have the ability, right, to modify it, to make requirements of the developer during the.
Who's furnishing this water?
Pardon?
Who's furnishing the water for this part?
The pond. No, I'm talking about the stormwater retention pond. That's so.
I told them what you said.
The Conservation District. If this gets approved with this conceptual drawing,
yes, sir.
You talked about overflow and the need for overflow, and obviously they haven't done any engineering at this. It's all conceptual, right?
Right.
Conservation District will require an overflow if they.
I see.
Well, isn't that part of their process? I mean, their engineers look at that, or do they just?
That's something that is coming late, more so than last year or so, because of last year's water bid, all that rain. Up to them, he's getting away with these ponds. But after last year with the flooding, all these streets, everybody's flooding themselves, then we had to figure out how to get rid of this water that overflows the ponds.
Okay, well Conservation District can require an overflow if they think it deemed to be necessary.
I don't know if they will or not.
Well, I don't know if they will or, I mean, okay. But they have the ability to.
And that's their jurisdiction.
But I'm saying they have the ability to require the developer to do it if they seem to think it's needed.
Right.
Okay.
Once they design it.
We don't have the expertise here.
I would say so,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to
know. I'd say give it to them.
What the Conservation District looks at is that you cannot have any more water runoff than what you had prior to changing the site.
Right.
So the runoff can't exceed what pre-existed. So it would maintain, the same flow or less.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Typically, in most cases, less.
Okay, we need to defer, obviously. If somebody has a motion, we'll entertain that for, deal first with the change of zone number 1691.
And just we'll just leave the record open for a report from Mr. Lank to maybe see if he thinks from what he's heard here today that we should try to get any other additional information, or if all the information's given
how
to us.
How long would I leave that open?
Just next.
Next week won't. The commission hadn't even made a recommendation yet.
Okay, say a week
so
after.
So you wait till it can be part after of the commission's recommendation.
Okay,
1 week after the.
Put it on the, well, once I get the recommendation of the commission, I'll give you a memo saying this is what the recommendation is.
Okay. All right.
And that way you have it in front of you.
Okay.
Before you schedule it for the regular agenda.
Right. So we'll leave it open for Mr. Lank's comments.
Okay. So that's a motion, Mr. Cole?
My motion.
We have a second?
Second.
Any question on a motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And was that for both or
that
just
that was
one?
For change of zone 1691.
Okay.
We'll now deal with conditional use 1849.
Which is the making it all GR, right?
Yes.
Wait, let me get my paper here.
Yes.
Okay. I don't see any reason to leave that one open or anything. We got to defer on it.
Right.
I'll just that's make it. A motion. We defer.
Have a second.
Second.
Deaver, a second. Question on the motion? Now we'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byard.
Mr. Moles.
Mr. Lank, the next application is Alan McCabe, McCabe's Farms, LLC.
This is an application for conditional use number 1870, the application of Alan McCabe, McCabe Farms, LLC, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for sheet metal fabrication and welding for the poultry industry and offices, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6.45 acres, more or less, of a 63.07 acre tract, and lying north of Seashore Highway, also known as Route 18 and Route 404, and 620 feet east of Road 528. Again, for the record, the applicant provided an exhibit booklet, which you all have in front of you. It was submitted on October 28th of 2010. We heard comments from, or received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department. There were two letters received in support of the application, one being from the Delmarva Poultry Industry Incorporated, and the other being from Allen Food, Family Foods Incorporated. They're also part of the record and summarized in my report. Alan McCabe of McCabe Farms, LLC, was present with Jim Fuquay, attorney with Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, and Mark Davidson of DC Group, and gave testimony. At the conclusion of the presentation, Mr. Fuquay submitted suggested findings of fact and suggested conditions of approval. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1870 for Alan McCabe of McCabe Farms, LLC, for sheet metal fabrication and welding with offices, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use will support the county's agricultural, business, and industrial uses. Two, the use is centrally located within the county, which provides convenience for the applicant's clients in Sussex County and throughout the Delmarva Peninsula. Three, the use is consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. And five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to metal fabrication, welding, and related activities. Two, the hours of operation shall be limited to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday with weekend operations when off-site installations are scheduled. Three, with the exception of material screened from view and stored in bins, there shall not be any outside storage. The location of the permitted storage bins shall be shown on the final site plan. Four, one lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side. Five, any security lights shall be screened from view so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Six, any dumpsters shall be located at the rear of the buildings and shall be screened from view of Route 18. Seven, If approved by county council, this conditional use shall expire unless it is substantially underway within 3 years of the council approval. And eight, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So the motion and a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. To date, since the public hearing, I have not received any additional comments from any agency or individual on this application, and that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions? Mr. Fuquay, and prior to your presentation, I pointed out to Mr. Lank prior to the hearing and to you that this was advertised correctly as Nanticoke Hundred. However, the plots refer to Georgetown Hundred, but it does have the correct tax map and parcel. And I see where that information came from in looking at the deed itself. The deed had erroneously said Georgetown Hundred, but it is correct in the Nanticoke Hundred and was advertised correctly.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen, for the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I'm representing Alan McCabe, who's seated right here behind me. Also, Mark Davidson is here. He's from DC Group, did the site design. There was an exhibit book submitted, which I assume you gentlemen and Mrs. Deaver have a copy of. This is an application for a conditional use for a sheet metal fabrication business and office to be located on the north side of Route 18, east of County Road 528. It's approximately 2 miles west of the Deltec campus on Route 18. The land is zoned AR1. Mr. McCabe actually owns approximately 63 acres of land. The rear half of the land is wooded. The front half is cleared and tilled, and there is an existing residence that's located approximately in the middle of the property. What Mr. McCabe did do, he did have a minor subdivision completed to create a 6.45-acre parcel, which is roughly the western half of the road frontage, and you can see that rectangular area in the front. That parcel does include the house. The road frontage of that piece is about 735 feet, and it has a depth of approximately 435 feet, and that is the site of the proposed and requested conditional use. The conditional use application proposed is to relocate Mr. McCabe's sheet metal fabrication business to this site and to construct basically two buildings on the site. One would be a one-story workshop building, which would be 80 feet by 120 feet or 9,600 square feet of floor area. The second building would be a one-story storage building, which would be 60 feet by 80 feet or 4,800 square feet of floor area. The existing house, which is located on the property, would be utilized as an office for the business. The site plan, which is over here, I think you have a copy of that. The site plan shows there'd be a new entrance from Route 18, and that new entrance would be in compliance with the DelDOT entrance requirements. The existing residential entrance, which goes to the house, would be abandoned. As I said, the house would be converted into an office. There'd be parking provided for the office location. The entrance road continues back and curves to the west, and that provides access to the two proposed buildings, which I've mentioned, and a parking area there for employees. There would be a total of 26 parking spaces. The new buildings would meet all setback requirements. The wastewater disposal area would be located in the front area, which is kind of that shaded green area there, and that would be for the on-site septic system. There was a stormwater management pond that would be located to the rear of the parking area there for the two new buildings. The on-site well would provide water. There's no wetlands or environmental features on the site, and as I said, this land is all cleared and has been in agricultural use for some time. Mr. McCabe's business is McCabe's Mechanical Services, Inc. Mr. McCabe has a background in the poultry industry. He was at one time the maintenance manager for the Purdue processing plant, as well as for the Townsend plant. Because of his knowledge of the poultry industry, he started this business back in 1998 to address what he found as a demand for fabrication of equipment needed by the poultry plants. The business started in his garage. He moved to a separate building. He's currently under a sublease at a site in the industrial park. His company provides new equipment that's customized for specific purposes involved in these businesses, such as conveyors or workstations. He also does maintenance work at these plants and does repairs of existing equipment. Over 80% of the company's work involves the poultry industry. His customers include Allen's plants in Harbison and Hurlock, Maryland, the Purdue plants in Georgetown and Milford, the Mount Air plant in Selbyville and Millsboro, and the Eastern Shore poultry plant in Georgetown. He also does work for several hatcheries, and he does similar type of work for several other businesses, two vegetable processors, J.G. Townsend's and Hanover Foods, as well as several other companies, such as Blairview Farms, which is an aquaculture business in Milford, SPI Pharmaceutical in Lewis, which is the old Barcroft facility, and certainly my favorite food company, Dogfish Head Brewery up in Milton.
Hmm.
The company employs 15 people in the fabrication shop and three additional people, which is the office staff. There's additional employees used for the installation of the equipment, as well as at times for subcontracting work. The normal shop hours are 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. However, because of the nature of the work, on occasion, it does operate on a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 12-hour shift. And the reason for that is that the shop basically fabricates custom equipment to be installed at whatever facility needs the equipment. The equipment can only actually be installed at the plant during a shutdown period, which, as you know, would be normally be on a Saturday and Sunday. So at times, if that shutdown is scheduled and installation is scheduled, to get the work completed, sometimes there's extra hours that have to be worked to get it done, so it'll coincide with the installation. When the installation is scheduled, the employees would meet at the site on a Saturday morning at approximately 6 a.m. They would all proceed from the site to the facility and perform the installation, return to the site at the day's end to basically go back to their cars to leave. So we requested the maximum hours of operation from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., but I do want to stress the normal hours are 7:30 to 4:30 p.m. The normal deliveries to the site that reoccur basically would be welding supplies, which are delivered two times a week, normally on Wednesday and Friday. And normally there is a stainless steel delivery every day, Monday through Friday, and that's because the most of the equipment is stainless steel and it's custom ordered. It's delivered from Salisbury. All the materials that are used in connection with the business are stored or will be stored inside of the buildings. Trash and any waste materials would be stored in bins that would be located behind the buildings and screened from the public. The location of the site is centrally located for the customers of the business in western and central Sussex County. It's located on a major east-west road, Route 18. It has easy access to major north-south roads, which would be Route 113 and Route 13. The land is zoned AR1. And is located in the low-density area under the comprehensive plan. However, there are several businesses located in the immediate area, mainly across the street from the site. There is I believe it's a 4.6-acre parcel that's zoned C1 that is located somewhat across the street and a little bit to the east. And there's several businesses. There's a country store and a skateboard, I believe it's a skateboard ramp store or manufacturing location that's also located across Route 18. What is important is the comprehensive plan provides under the permitted uses in the low density area, which is what we're in, the following. The plan states that the primary uses envisioned in the low density area are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. Business development should be largely confined to businesses addressing the needs of these two uses. And again, the plan states industrial uses that support or depend on agriculture should be permitted. And that's on page 18 of the comp plan. A copy is in the exhibit book that I provided. So Mr. McCabe's business, because of its nature, directly supports the poultry industry in Sussex County, which, as you know, is the largest sector of our agricultural economy, as well as several other agricultural-related businesses, such as vegetable processors and some other food businesses. This request is specifically recognized by the comp plan as permitted and appropriate. There are several letters of support in the record, including a letter from Allen's. The Planning and Zoning Commission did unanimously recommend approval of this conditional use subject to the 8 conditions that Mr. Lank stated. The application supports our agricultural economy. It provides employment, and it is in accordance with the comprehensive plan, and we would request your approval for the reasons and subject to the conditions that were recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that will complete my presentation, other than any questions you might have.
Are there any questions from council?
What is directly across, westerly and across? I see a...
At O'Day's Market there.
Yeah, in the booklet, there's a...
I'm looking at the overhead.
And when I went out there, there's a C1 zone parcel that's located there. All I saw, I believe it's Red Barn Country Store. Next to that, like I said, I wasn't exactly sure. It looks like the big skateboard ramps.
Mm-hmm. The woman with the red roof on
their
aerial is actually a house.
Oh, it's a
right.
house.
And the Red Barn Antiques is just off the screen.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, the piece that's owned commercial, I don't think there's a business there. Mm-hmm.
It's a billboard.
What is it?
It used to be a gift shop, but what's left now is just a billboard, maybe two billboards.
You talking about the Red Barn?
No, in front of O'Day's.
O'Day's?
Yeah. There's two billboards, I think,
that's
on that side.
Yeah. Still commercial.
Used to be a gift shop there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still zoned commercial.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was a fruit stand, like.
Yeah, but there was a gift shop, actually, at one time.
How about that? I live right down the road for that, too.
Any further questions from council? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? At this point, we can close the public hearing on this matter, Mr. President, and if suitable with council, we can take action on this one today.
Okay. Anybody want to do anything with conditional use 1870 as far as the motion?
Let me read the title,
please.
Okay, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for sheet metal fabrication and welding for the poultry industry and offices to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Nanticoke Country, Sussex County, containing 6.45 acres more or less of a 63.07 acre tract, subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to metal fabrication, welding, and related activities. Two, the hours of operation shall be limited to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, with weekend operations when off-site installations are scheduled. Three, with the exception of materials screened from view and stored in bins, there shall not be any outside storage. The location of the permitted storage bins shall be shown on the final site plan. Four, one lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side. Five, any security lights shall be screened from view so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Six, any dumpster shall be located at the rear of the buildings and shall be screened from view of Route 18. Seven, if approved by Sussex County Council, the conditional use shall expire unless it is substantially underway within 3 years of the Council's approval. Number eight, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the conditional use 1870. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes, and for the reasons stated by the Planning and Zoning Commission and with the conditions.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
In spite of the presentation from Mr. Fuqua, it's obvious he's been spending too much time at the Dogfish, but I'll still vote yes because I feel that it's in keeping with the agricultural needs of our county.
Mr. Phillips.
I agree. It is a good
with
application.
The Dogfish comment?
That too.
Okay.
I vote yes with the recommendations of Planning and Zoning.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Recommendations of Planning and Zoning, I agree with them, and it does certainly help the agricultural community, so I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
It's a shame what's happened.
Thank you.
He doesn't know it yet, but he's in my backyard.
He's falling apart.
You got a dog fish in your backyard?
That was Frank Fowler's.
Next, Mr. Moore.
Yes. The next application is Canterbury Creek. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. Next application is conditional use number 1871, the application of Canterbury Creek to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for expansion of conditional use number 1265, approved by ordinance number 1284 for antiques and craft shop and wildlife and folk art by adding the sale of swing sets, sheds, outdoor furniture, fencing, and various garden and yard accessories to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.05 acres, more or less, lying west of Route 1, 3,540 feet north of Route 198, also known as Truett's Road. Now, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 10 of 2010. And it, the commission, for your benefit, have provided you with a copy of the survey of the property showing sketches of where the sheds are to be located for display purposes. We did not ask for comments from DLDOT since this is an expansion of a continuation of an existing conditional use. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department and the Sussex Conservation District. We had a letter in opposition, which is summarized in my report, from Robert L. Graham and Ethel C. Graham in opposition. The commission was reminded that on March 25th of 2010, the applicant was present for public hearing to consider this conditional use. The commission recommended approval condition that the applicant failed to appear before council, and the council had to deny his request for conditional use. Michael Rue was present on behalf of Canterbury Creek and gave testimony. Mr. Robertson expressed some concerns about the applicant's expanding use of the property without obtaining any approvals. Mr. Wheatley stated that previous recommendations have no bearing on this application, that the application should be considered on its own merit. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1871, the application of Canterbury Creek for the expansion of conditional use number 1265, also referred to the ordinance number 1284, to include the sale of swing sets, sheds, and garden products based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use is for the expansion of an existing conditional use that permitted the sale of antiques, crafts, and wildlife and folk art. This conditional use, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, is a reasonable expansion of the existing uses. Two, the use serves a community need for the types of products that will be sold. Three, the sheds are delivered by the manufacturer to the purchaser. Four, the expansion of the existing conditional use will not result in a substantial increase in traffic. Five, because the site is surrounded by other properties owned by the applicant's family, there will not be any adverse effect on properties of different ownership. And six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, outside storage and display of sheds, swing sets, and garden products shall be permitted on the site. The location of the display areas shall be shown on the final site plan. Two, there shall be no more than a total of 30 swing sets and or sheds displayed on the site at any one time. Three, all outside displays shall be located at least 60 feet away from the right-of-way of Route 1, with the exception of one swing set and shed that can be located no less than 40 feet from the right-of-way. Four, the final site plan shall contain the location of all entrances, driveways, and parking areas. Five, the use shall be subject to all DLDOT approvals. Six, as stated by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., but open 6 days per week. Seven, any sheds sold from the premises shall contain a notice that a shed placement requires a permit from Sussex County. Eight, this approval shall be limited to the applicant and his family. If the business or the site is transferred to anyone other than the applicant or his family, this conditional use, which is an expansion of ordinance number 1284, shall expire. And number nine, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 4-0. To date, since the public hearing, I have not received any additional comments from any individual or agency. That's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Rue, would you like to introduce yourself and give us your address and then explain your application, please?
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Rue, owner of Candleberry Creek. Location of the store is 10322 Coastal Highway, Milford, Delaware, 19963. Explanation of why.
Yes, just what you plan to do, why you're here.
I just
here.
Simply strongly believe that we have a great opportunity, given our location on the highway, to expand and meet community needs, which we've basically proven in the past couple of years, even considering the downfall of the economy. So just looking for the opportunity to push forward with our business objectives. Thank you.
Does it present any kind of a traffic hazard along that road?
Not at all, ma'am.
Because I'm reading from what the Grahams wrote here.
Yeah, believe it or not, that's my uncle. And kind of very shocking. Yeah, he's family. He's I don't know how to put this. He's very old school and very black and white, and he's gotten older, and he doesn't like to look out his window and see anything that he's never seen before. I will say, unfortunately, he's been diagnosed with brain cancer in the past couple months, and I can't help but wonder if that may have prompted some of this thinking, because that's very the points made in that letter are very exaggerated,
okay,
to say the least.
And you don't have any connection with the dogfish?
Just every couple of weeks I have a connection.
It was brought up in the last hearing. I just want to make sure if there's any connection or any line of thinking here.
We're proud to be a Miltonian, I'll say that.
All right. Support the local economy.
That's right.
Although Mr. Lank read into the record a lot of what your application is, can you just kind of tell us in your own words what you're planning to do, what's your expansion, just to build a record?
Sure. We initially started in 1999 by requesting to operate out of my grandparents' home that we inherited there, selling just gifts, folk art, and a lot of fun home decor type things. We quickly realized you can't make a living selling little knickknacks like that, candles and such. So we just constantly drove forward, with our vision and having connections with the Amish of Lancaster. We started realizing it's an unlimited resource that could allow us to expand the business, provided we have the county approval. And we did one thing not completely accurate in Uncle Bob's letter there is he accuses us of opening before we were approved or whatever. That's completely wrong. The gift shop was approved, and we followed proper protocol there. But we did probably step ahead of ourselves in expanding with the sheds and the swing sets, having not been approved. But I did say this, and Mr. Wheatley actually agreed with me and said that was a good answer at the first Planning and Zoning Commission. And my rebuttal was that when you have a business vision, the time is now. You kind of have to be aggressive before somebody else steps in, especially knowing the administrative process can take a couple of years to get approved. We just were excited about our vision. We wanted to implement it as fast as possible. So I guess I could say sorry for stepping ahead there, but I think we have proven that it's definitely a community need. We've sold nearly 150 swing sets in 4 years, which has been a very exciting time for us. And the sheds, which we just included last year, have taken off significantly. And there's not really anybody on that stretch of highway in at all. I mean, 12 miles north of us in Kent County, there's the portable buildings guy that's does his own thing, but to stretch all the way to the beaches, there's nobody doing what we do, and that's why we're excited and proud to be able to offer what we offer.
Okay. Any other questions from counsel of the applicant? Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to the application?
Seeing the bus none, just pulled up.
That's right, the bus just came up. Seeing none, the public hearing, Mr. President, is closed, and we can take action because Planning and Zoning did act on this matter.
Thank you.
Okay, if you will read.
Yes, I will read the an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for expansion of conditional use number 1265, parens ordinance number 1284, end of parens, antiques and gift shop and wildlife and folk art by adding the sale of swing set sheds, outdoor furniture, fencing, and various garden and yard accessories to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.05 acres, more or less, subject to the following conditions. One, outside storage and displays of sheds, swing sets, and garden products shall be permitted on the site. The location of display areas shall be shown on the final site plan. Two, there shall be no more than a total of 30 swing sets and or sheds displayed on the site at any one time. Three, all outside displays shall be located at least 60 feet away from the right-of-way of Route 1 with the exception of one swing set and shed that can be located no less than 40 feet from the right-of-way. Four, the final site plan shall contain the location of all entrances, driveways, and parking areas. Five, the use shall be subject to all DLDOT approvals. Six, as stated by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., but open 6 days per week. Seven, any shed sold from the premises shall contain a notice that a shed placement requires a permit from Sussex County. Number eight, this approval shall be limited to the applicant and his family. If the business or site is transferred to anyone other than the applicant or his family, this conditional use, which is an expansion of ordinance number 1284, shall expire. Nine, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Motion, Ms. Deaver, second, Mr. Wilson, to approve conditional use 1871. It was an expansion of business use 1265, ordinance number 1284.
With those conditions as expressed by P&Z, correct?
Expressed by P&Z, yes, sir. As read in the record by Mr. Moore. Any questions? Not, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes for the reasons given by the Planning and Zoning Commission. It meets a community need and with the nine conditions.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes, and on the recommendation of P&Z.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, and I support the recommendations of P&Z.
I vote yes. Good application, good for the economy, with the recommendations of Planning and Zoning.
Also, recommendations of Planning and Zoning. It is good for the economy. It's always good to see a business expand. I vote yes. Carried.
By not using an attorney today, you'll be able to afford more of those dogfishes than you would have if you'd have used an attorney.
Do I have anything else?
No.
If not, we'll take a motion for adjournment.
Permits for those sheds. Yeah.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Fultz, to adjourn.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye, we're adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Very good.
Thank you.